Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, Nick Mason is here.
It's good to be here. And you told me just before recording, you dropped a bombshell on me. You said, I'm not really a quiche guy.
I don't like
quiche.
That's
what you said, and you didn't give me any time to react to that.
Now's your opportunity.
It's fine.
You're okay with it?
Yeah, it's fine, I guess. Yeah.
You're a big quiche fan? I feel like I should like it. Mm-hmm. I find they're too, like, egg-heavy. It's not the way I like to eat eggs.
Sure.
It's like a hard-cooked egg,
right?
You know?
Yeah, sure.
I don't like it.
I say get into eggs now.
Get it? Yeah.
While you still have the chance.
You think someone's taking the eggs?
Something's cooking up, James. I don't know if you're aware.
And it's not eggs?
It's different from eggs.
Okay, great.
You know, anyway, I'm just saying, you just didn't give me any time to react.
You were
like, I'm not a quiche guy, and then you hit record. And I'm like, as if that would stop me, my Oppenheimer style interrogation of you and your seeming despising of egg quiche.
I don't despise it. Well, this is not really for me.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather eat eggs in a different way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Before this thing happens that you vaguely alluded to.
What do you love, James? Is it podcasting and news and such?
Yeah, I love the movie we're going to talk about. Well, I don't love it. But we are going to talk about the movie Civil War.
That's true.
Talk about that later. Mm. And then lead up to that, there are time codes if you do want to jump to anything. We're going to talk about Robert Downey Jr. on whether he'll return as Iron Man.
Yes, he is.
We're going to talk about Zack Snyder, Batman, Superman killing again.
Okay, oh, that's back. Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to talk about a reboot of Heroes, the show Heroes.
Oh, yes.
And then CinemaCon, there's a bunch of stuff that they showed. Some footage we have, most that we don't, including Deadpool and Wolverine, Captain America, next Captain America, Thunderbolts, Asterix, a Monopoly movie.
Yeah, just before you, Thunderbolts, Asterisk.
Yes.
We're not talking about Thunderbolts, and also the French comic book Asterix.
We don't know yet.
We might.
Kevin Feige said it will be clear after the movie, so we don't actually know.
Genifix Origins.
Two Transformers pieces of news.
Cool.
Well, one's Transformers 1 news and the other's G.I. Joe news.
Love that.
Ninja Turtles something. Big Ninja Turtles news, which I'm excited about.
This is all the franchises we know and love, and I think that's great.
Including the Joker 2 trailer.
Ah, that's great.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I liked the way, and we'll talk about it, but I was going to leave it to last, but I'm going to say it now, where they did a big double kick on the stairs.
They did do a double big, the iconic double kick. Yeah, the iconic original kick on the stairs. They've
but
doubled
there's
it
two
up.
Of them.
It's twice as nice.
Yeah, man.
A kick so nice they did it twice or once each. He did it twice.
Did he?
He's done it twice.
Did he teach her the dance?
I think it's a dream sequence.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Do you think how much of it, what we'll talk about, I was going to say how much of it is dream sequences.
No, let's not talk about it. Let's just say it's a dream sequence.
Okay, fair enough. Now, Esquire, they spoke to Robert Downey Jr. and they said, would you be Iron Man now that you're Oppenheimer and you're too good for movies now?
That's right.
I think you're pretty cool, don't
you? Are you going to go back to the stage, do a death of a salesman, put your hat on a coat rack and be sad? You're going to do that?
Fucking loser, you dork.
You're going to open a big fake door and walk on stage and be like, oh, tough day being a salesman, I didn't sell anything. I put my hat and my coat on the rack and then and my wife's making eggs and she's like, you scum, you scum of the earth, you didn't sell anything. How are we going to, we got lots of mouths to feed.
Is that what that's about?
Probably. Probably.
And then she shoots it.
Yeah.
Death of the Salesman.
That's why it's so famous. It goes for 2 minutes. And you can see it a bunch of times.
He doesn't even say anything.
That's right. It's cheap.
Yeah.
And you can, it's like the McDonald's of yeah. theatre. You can see it a bunch of times
you
in a day.
You can run it, yeah, you can run it like potentially, I don't know, 48 times in a day.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, they said you're returning as Iron Man. And he said, happily, it's too integral a part of my DNA. That role chose me. And look, I'll never say never, ever bet against Kevin Feige. It's a losing bet. He's the house. He always wins. So he'll probably show up as a variant of a ghost yeah. or a hologram.
I reckon hologram head. That's yeah, my, cool. That's my.
Because I think they've said before definitively that like that version is dead, like the yeah. original, mm-hmm. like the way the original Gamora is dead and the original mm-hmm. Groot is dead.
Yes, absolutely.
Even though both of those people are still running about.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Even though Black Widow's dead, but she turned up in a Black Widow prequel.
Absolutely.
Anybody can turn up.
Yeah. I think also in the comic books, the current Black Widow has been a clone for years.
Oh.
Like as in decades, I'm pretty confident.
Where was the other? Where was the original one?
Dead.
Dead?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And that's fine?
I guess so, yeah.
Who killed her? I don't care.
The woman from Death of a Salesman.
I said I don't care.
Okay, fine. It was a co-promotion in the 60s.
Oh, okay. Wow, it was that long?
Yeah.
Really? So this is like that.
I didn't sell anything and I'm cheating on you with Black Widow.
No!
Bang!
Oh, no!
Bang again.
Wait, what? Shot Black Widow?
No, the wife killed them both.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, I know, right?
I should see it.
You know, it's like, you know, when Stan Lee did that cross-promotion with, like, the Japanese film production company in the 70s.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
the
yeah.
same thing.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
This thing that I've said is legitimate.
Yeah, it seems real.
It's real.
Seems real.
Yeah.
And here's something that's very real.
Oh, we're going to talk about Robert Downey Jr.
Sure.
You excited to see him back? Is he excited yeah. to see another $75 million paycheck?
I'm not – I still feel like it just happened. Like, I'm not clamoring to see him do this again.
Do you think when a big star like this decides to come back, do you think it is partly because they're like, oh, I love seeing all my buddies and we did this yeah. and it's a bit of fun? Or is he also like, man, I got these guys over a barrel?
It's both, but probably yeah. the barrel thing also.
I think it wouldn't shock me if Ironheart, the series or movie, is still happening in some capacity.
Yeah.
He could, I mean, his agent could be like, you could get literally any amount of money out of them to have a 2-minute cameo in this.
Yeah.
Where it's like the Daredevil cameo in Echo. It's like people, that'll get people to the show.
Will it though?
It did get people to Echo. I think Echo, people watched Echo, I think.
I don't know.
Remember Echo?
I remember. I haven't seen it. I remember.
Yeah.
But I don't know if, is that enough to be like, this guy's back?
I don't know, because I think now.
They haven't established enough new stuff to be like.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feel more like a. Like
especially if it is literally just one cameo. I think people are savvy enough to go, well, I'll just watch that scene.
Yeah.
I won't even get Disney Plus. I'll just watch it on YouTube and then.
And the entire movie on Twitter.
So they'd have to sort of integrate him.
Yeah.
Like maybe she's building a. Maybe she's got some. She's,
yeah.
Ironheart's gathered some energy from the final battle with Thanos and she's trying to. And the spirit of Tony Stark is coming through or whatever, and then she at the end you see flickers of it throughout. Then it's new audio. We're like, we gotta watch this. It's got new audio from Robert Downey Jr. or whatever. And then at the end last episode she's defeated the big bad guy or whatever, and then she switches on the old Iron Man suit and it's got the hologram Tony Stark head, and we're like, yes.
Do you reckon he's in Deadpool or something? New Deadpool. I mean, there'll probably be archival footage.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Has he recently grown out his beard in public?
Oh, it's a
sometimes
great question.
I think recently he had the beard.
Let's check Shutterstock.
I can't tell whether he's just got the beard sometimes now.
Yeah.
But that's his beard that he sometimes has.
Well, I mean, it's. I think he's just gone. I think currently he just goes with a sort of a vague grey beard. Like it's just sort of there.
Vague grey beard.
Vague grey beard.
Love that character from Lord of the Rings. Vague grey beard. Oh, look, it's vague grey beard. Yeah, man, look.
Oh, yeah,
he's got it in this one.
Oh, yeah.
This is from 2 weeks ago. He's got a vague grey beard.
Is advertising something?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Happy Hunt?
Yeah. I don't know.
Happy Hogan?
Whoa.
Happy Hogan?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I don't know.
I don't know, yeah. But he can grow in the whisper in like 2 weeks.
It's
if he
totally
wants to,
fine.
You know,
or they could just stick it on him. Or he could just not have it.
He could just not have it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't have it because I'm a hologram, he could say.
Yeah, this one's from 23 weeks ago. He's got
weeks ago.
But when did they film it? I don't know.
Why is he with a scary clown? What's happening there?
No, you're asking the wrong questions.
I think I'm asking the right questions.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll see.
What's that scary clown origins?
To which one? Just in general?
Yeah, just clowns generally.
Just clowns generally.
It's like how Blade is the origin of vampires generally. That'll be the origin of clowns in the MCU.
Blade is the origin of vampires?
Yeah, but you know, they just, you know.
I thought you meant in real life. No. Like Blade in the Blade comics invented vampires. No, he didn't. Because I'm like, that's not true.
That's not true at all.
It's a dumb thing to say. You're an idiot. Mason, this is by Empire Magazine. They asked Zack Snyder,
hey, Zack, what? Journalistic integrity has gone off the rails.
Oh, I like it. It's good.
They just got an influencer to go, hey, man, what?
Asking the real questions. They said, they asked about whether or not he was surprised the reaction to his decision to make Batman and Superman kill. We talked about this recently, even came a video.
We talked about it recently, then slightly less recently, then slightly less recently to that, and so on and so forth.
And all the way back.
Yeah, if you can imagine back in the past towards infinity, that's how long we've been talking about this.
Right.
And if you can imagine the future towards infinity, whether it be a post-apocalyptic future or some sort of utopia, we'll still be asking.
That's right, exactly.
In fact, it might lead to one of those.
It's the one constant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said the only reason I'm not surprised is that some people got brainwashed by a bunch of material that is not consistent with true canon.
Uh-oh.
And that's fine. They're on their own journey. It's true, aren't we all?
That's so true.
Towards whatever future we have.
Yeah.
What's that mean, though?
I don't know.
Not consistent with true canon.
The Zack Snyder canon.
Okay.
But also, this would be press for Rebel Moon Part 2.
Yes, exactly.
The Scaregiver. Boom. Yeah. He's the Scaregiver.
Gotcha. Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I imagine these answers are going to get increasingly antagonistic over the next few weeks until this thing is out.
Yeah, fair enough. So I don't know. I don't think this is particularly interesting, but the only reason I wanted to put this in is because next week we are talking about Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scaregiver.
But there's other things out.
No, this is what we're talking
about.
There's
other things. There's a movie probably.
Yeah, there's a movie. There's that Vampire Girl movie. Fallout's really good. We've both been watching that.
Mm-hmm.
But this, Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scaregiver, that's what people want.
I guess it is.
We have to round out the trilogy.
Yeah.
It's a trilogy, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's a trilogy once you count original Rebel Moon 1 and then Rebel Moon Super Sexy Edition and then this edition. Did you also read, I think he said somewhere along the lines that he wants to do a new version of Sucker Punch?
Oh, yeah.
Because that...
I mean, they butchered that first one, didn't they, maybe?
Probably.
I haven't seen it.
Probably all sorts of robot samurai in the wrong spots.
Wasn't that movie like exactly what he wanted to make?
Probably.
Exactly Snyder what he wanted to make?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Does anyone want that in the world?
Yeah.
Who?
Zack Snyder and Zack Snyder fans.
I don't think Zack Snyder fans like this one.
They can do a new Steelbook. But I think that's also funny to be like, hey, you know, you guys who've attached your entire personality to my works and you think they're all heartbreaking works of staggering genius.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I thought that one sucked and I'm going to do another version.
And also the first Rebel Moon because I made a real one.
Yeah, I made a real one.
The one that you watched was
I made
wrong.
A real one. It's just for real ones.
Yeah.
So I'm going to crack this. Sprite branded soda pop, James.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Not sponsored.
No.
We'll take their money.
Absolutely, we will. No, we can't take in my opinion, we can't take a soft drink sponsorship.
Okay.
Unfortunately. All right. Yeah. We'll do something healthy, like an egg.
Interesting.
What's next? Deadline reporting. The Heroes reboot, titled Heroes: Eclipsed, will be back, will happen. It's written by Tom Kring, who did the 2006 original. Did you know that was from 2006?
The original.
I thought it was from like 2011.
Oh, Heroes Original Heroes?
Yeah.
Heroes Original Heroes feels older than that. I would have said 2000.
Well, it makes sense because the second season was writer's struck and that was
Era. So. And then there was another reboot of sorts?
Yeah, Zachary Levi was in it or something.
Okay.
I didn't watch
And any this. Of the original cast members?
No, I watched the first season and then I immediately stopped, which is apparently the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect we've discussed this in a small way on this podcast, but the first season was quite slow because they had to introduce like 10 main characters. And then the idea originally I think was going to be that...
Give me the heal everything blood!
Somebody does say that at one point. Apparently the original plan was for the second season, push all the old ones out and introduce new characters.
Oh my God.
But then people liked the old ones so much that they were like, well, let's keep them and introduce a bunch more characters. And then it was just really slow again.
And it was also writer's strike.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it introduced like Zachary Quinto and
that's true.
Other people who appeared in that show.
Yeah.
The guy he had brains or whatever, didn't he?
Yeah.
There's a guy who could paint the future or something.
Mr. Paint the Future.
There was a dude who could fly or something, the future.
Yep.
Anyway, Heroes Eclipsed is set years after the events of the original series as new EVOS.
EVOS?
I don't know.
I don't think they called them those in the original series.
Okay. Being awakened and discovering powers that would change their lives, featuring familiar villains. Uh-oh. What is that?
Probably Mr. Eat Your Brains. Probably Mr. Paint the Future.
Probably Mr. Dad works for the secret FBI.
Mr. Glasses Dad. He's back.
But he might be a good guy.
Maybe.
Featuring familiar villains and new enemies who once again will be attempting to suppress this next step in human evolution. It will be up to this new group of heroes to save the world.
What are you calling them?
Heroes.
Okay.
Is this like bringing back Unbreakable? In like,
yeah,
this is from an era where we didn't get a bunch of superhero shows and movies all the time.
That's true.
And they're like, remember this? Not really.
Yeah.
I remember it got really bad. I don't know.
If the main character played by Milo Ventimiglia.
Yeah.
He
went to the future. He had a scar and an eye patch.
He did. And also at one point he went into a parallel universe and he got a girlfriend and he just left her there.
Nice.
It was a apocalyptic universe and the whole thing was going to collapse. And he's like, well, I'll come back for you. Didn't come back.
He was busy.
Yeah. Also, Robert Forster was in it as his dad.
Oh, is he dead?
Yeah, he is dead.
He is dead. Okay, well, that's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not coming back. Not my favorite character.
Robert
he is my
Forster.
Favorite character.
Is he? He's in Austin Powers. That's who you're talking about?
He's the guy in Jackie Brown.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of the guy with the eye patch.
Quentin Tarantino.
From Austin Powers.
Oh, right, number one.
Yeah, I don't know why I would. Or he was number two? I don't know. Yeah, because I think eye patches, and I just went, oh, absolutely, yeah, well, he's got an eye patch, so that must be his dad.
Mm.
Oh, that's a shame.
You think eye patches are hereditary?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you not think that?
There's no evidence to prove otherwise, exactly. I suppose, in this room.
Yeah. There's not. We still need more data. We need to collect more data. Yeah.
Anyway, I will watch the first episode of this.
Yeah, I guess I will, depending on the trailer. But realistically, probably not.
Okay.
Because there's a billion shows.
There sure is.
I still haven't started X-Men 97,
same,
which is apparently incredible. CinemaCon happened, Mason.
I didn't watch What If Season 2. Remember that?
Did I watch that?
I think you did.
No, I did watch that. I liked it.
Okay, great.
I liked it.
Yeah, great.
CinemaCon happened.
Yes.
Bloody the biggest con in bloody cinema, right? I don't know. Anyway.
The biggest con is those concession stand prices.
Whoa.
Popcorn's very expensive.
Very good. They get journalists in and they go, look at this footage, and we can't see the footage.
Mm. And everybody describes it as breathtaking, probably.
Yeah, everybody went apeshit. That's normally how people respond.
Yeah.
I was there and I was moved and then so-and-so came out and everyone went, yeah, you know?
Yeah, sure.
We've been doing this too long.
I disagree. I can still feel something when some guy comes out. I'll go, yeah.
No, a description of it, though.
All right.
What are you feeling?
Depends what.
Sure.
Give me some of those descriptions.
Lot of,
I'll picture them perfectly in my mind, and I'll tell you whether I'm going,
there's
yeah
a lot
or
of
not
good stuff here that they revealed. And we'll do some of them. Here's some Marvel stuff.
What happened to Amelia Earhart?
What did happen to Amelia?
That's what I'm saying. Did they reveal it?
I didn't, not that I saw, but that might have been footage that they kept for people who were there.
Yeah, that's
true. Deadpool and Wolverine.
Don't tell anybody. Shh.
Yeah.
Shh.
The footage was described as,
Wade, she opened a juice bar.
Did she?
Shh, yeah.
Wade is captured by the TVA and he wakes up at an office with Matthew McFadden's character.
Uh-huh, sure.
He tells Deadpool that he's been chosen for a special mission to save the sacred timeline.
It's in the trailer, I think.
Now, shut up. And then there's footage shown of Chris Evans as Captain America.
Oh.
And Deadpool salutes him. And then he sees a clip of Chris Hemsworth as Thor crying over his body. I guess Deadpool's body, I guess.
Oh, well, this description is bad already.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say yes to this description.
Yeah. And he says, that happens in the distant future. And McFadden tells him, I am Marvel Jesus. So McFadden tells him, and then Deadpool says, I am Marvel Jesus. He addresses the camera and says, suck it, Fox. I'm going to Disneyland. Get fucked. And the footage ends with Deadpool getting a new super suit.
Yes.
Looks mostly like his other suit, but he's getting a new suit.
I love that.
So how do you feel about that? That description, did it evoke anything in you?
No, I think most of that is in the last trailer, right?
Not the thing about the dead body. I wonder if it's new footage of Chris Hemsworth or they just took footage of him crying from another movie and put it in, you know? There's plenty of that, so it's fine.
Maybe they took some footage of him from Home and Away.
Maybe they did.
He's crying over the
Summer Bay Strangler.
That's right.
Who was his best friend.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man.
Wow, that's okay. That's heavy stuff.
It is.
Home
it
and
is
Away.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they ran out of flake at
did
the fish
they
and chip shop.
That's terrible news. Yeah. You could just substitute it for the chocolate flake and that's fine. People won't know the difference. Mason,
yes,
are you excited for Deadpool and Wolverine and whatever?
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently there's going to be so many cameos and et cetera.
Oh, all the more excited then.
How many cameos before you've had enough? I would like a scene, let's say it's an hour long, mm-hmm. where they just keep bringing in...
Just endless.
Just one every 10 okay. seconds.
All right. So these have to be fresh cameos. It can't be
Yeah. Look, I will concede that you can play the same character twice if you've done that. Or if it's a fun one. If it's a fun one. If they're like, oh, look, Daniel Radcliffe comes here and he's Wolverine. He comes back through and he's Harry Potter.
Oh, sure.
That's a fun one.
They're just purchasing the rights to Harry Potter for this.
No, they just do it.
Oh, okay. Nice.
You could put him in vague wizard attire.
Sure.
You know, like those... Those vague Halloween costumes.
Yeah,
it's like
sure.
wizard boy, magic boy.
Harry Potter head.
Oh, that's funny.
That's fun and that's very Deadpool appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I hope it's good.
I hope it's good.
Because I like good things. Or I hope it's really bad because then that'll be also good to talk about.
I kind of think you – look, James, you've said some nonsense there.
No, I haven't.
We all agree that that's nonsense. But I think genuinely a good bit would just be like an endless – just an endless cameo machine.
Oh yeah, I wasn't
just
joking.
For no reason.
I would like to say that. Yeah.
How long do you think the bit could sustain itself?
Maybe 5 minutes.
I reckon they could do 10 minutes. I reckon they could do 10 full minutes, and we're like, because it would get funny again afterwards.
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
Just
a door and opens.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they just walk through and into another door. Like, and they go off.
Oh, or maybe they go. Maybe they could do it similar to the Deadpool 2, where they introduce X-Force and they're all killed. You do 10 full minutes.
Yeah.
Of we're going to get a multiversal team together and it's old, fantastic. It's the Fantastic Four and it's the Fantastic Four from the 70s and it's Spider-Man from the
70s. And Deadpool's saying things the whole time
or
it's in complete silence.
It could be complete silence and maybe like an applause banner lights up so we all know to just keep cheering.
Just footsteps.
Yeah.
Just echoey footsteps. Yeah.
And it's just every guy that's ever been, and then they all get in the Situation Room and then it's bombed and they all die.
Yep, love it. Love that, Mason. We also got a first look, and we actually saw some imagery of this, of Captain America, Falcon Captain America movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's still images, but there was some footage shown. Apparently part of it was that President Ross.
Oh, my goodness.
General Ross, who's now become President Ross, and he's now become Harrison Ford, and he doesn't have a mustache.
Doesn't look like he has a mustache.
What's the deal with that? What's the deal with that?
What is the deal? What is the deal with that?
What's the deal with Harrison Ford not having a mustache? Well,
maybe because is he Red Hulk in this? We don't know yet.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, well then we do know.
No, they haven't officially announced it, but yes.
Okay, maybe this is part of the reveal because Red Hulk doesn't have a mustache.
No,
mostly. So I think he put on a fake mustache when he was Thunderbolt Ross. So this is maybe the point where the reveal. Maybe he takes the mustache off
and then he hulks out.
And then he hulks out. Yeah. Or maybe Harrison Ford didn't want to either grow a mustache or have a fake mustache put on him.
I don't think they can hide who Red Hulk is in the live action movies because often the Hulk just looks like the person.
Mm.
So I think you wouldn't be like, who is this Red Hulk? You'd be like, well, it looks like Harrison Ford.
That's right.
The new General Ross.
Yeah. Wow, that looks like Harrison Ford reluctantly put into a image scanning booth. It's just sort of, it's slightly.
Because he turned his head.
Yeah, it's slightly runny because he's trying to leave the whole time. It's got some smudge to it. Yeah, it's smeared. Yeah.
Eyes crooked.
Yeah. We did the best we could. Yeah, this guy's gamma radiation made him all melty. So.
Could you have used the scan from Indiana Jones? Yeah, we didn't think of that actually.
We forgot we did that, honestly. Indiana Jones. Okay. Well, those two frames look good. They're looking hale and hearty. Those two men we see in that still image.
Yep.
On our phone.
This is what Anthony Mackie says about it. Yeah. This movie is a clear reset. It really reestablishes the idea of what this universe is and what the universe is going to be. I think with these movies, you're going to get clear new branding of what Marvel is headed towards. The same way they did with Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Oh,
that's
hell
right.
Yeah, that's the good
10
one.
10 years on, here we go.
That's right.
It's been 10 years. Oof. How do you feel about that? The passage of time.
I like it.
All right, cool. Yeah. So, yeah. So
some of my eyebrow hair has turned white.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That hasn't even happened to me yet, so that's embarrassing for you.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hope this is good. By the way, the stuff they described in the footage, it genuinely sounded good, but... That's only somebody describing it, how they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I can't gauge that, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, Thunderbolts is officially called Thunderbolts Asterix.
James.
Asterix.
Take another run
Asterix.
At it. Okay, that's close.
Strex.
No.
What would you call it?
Asterisk.
Asterix.
You're doing it on purpose.
No, I'm not.
So upsetting.
Kevin Feige said, yes, you'll notice the asterisk on Thunderbolts asterisk. That is the official title for Thunderbolts asterisk, and we won't talk about that until after the movie comes out.
Whoa.
So there you go.
What do you think that means?
I don't know. A revolving cameo door.
Maybe it's a revolving cameo
Different
door.
Different members, yeah.
That is really interesting because we assumed there was a subtitle.
I didn't. You Did. Assumed. I didn't. And when you assume and et cetera, you're a dumbass.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. When you assume a dumbass, that makes you a dumbass.
Is that true?
Because there's a dumbass in assume a dumbass. That's the expression, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that is just the official title. Okay. Maybe it's a working super team title. They're like, we're going to call it this, but we're going to come back.
Oh, I see. Right.
Figure
okay.
it out.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Thunderbolts, asterisk. Actually, they're all dumbasses.
Yeah, okay.
They want it. It's like it's supposed to be a cool team, but it's not. It's a team of dumbasses.
Okay.
Dumbass freaks. Because it's like Suicide Squad, right? That's what they're building.
This would make sense if it was like a corporate team built by, you know, for maximum public adoration.
Oh, yeah, but they're not really, are they?
No, nobody knows who they are. Like if this was, you know, there's a...
They either have the Black Widow or the Captain America powers.
Yes, exactly. If they were like a... A team of young, cool, social media savvy dudes, and it was Thunderbolts asterisk. I could be like, okay, right. Is it? I don't know. Are we going to get a title? Maybe we're going to get a full title reveal at the end.
Maybe
it's a movie with no title sequence at the start, and at the end they're like Thunderbolts, actually Dark Avengers.
Thunderbolts. What do you think about that? Number two.
Yeah, that's right. This was the second one.
Yeah,
you missed the
Figure
first
out
one.
Which one? The first one was.
The first one was just on QR codes on cereal boxes. You had to watch it.
Oh, it wasn't like a show they already made. They're like, yeah, She-Hulk was. That was you missed it.
That's right. You didn't watch it. Your fault.
I watched it, Mason. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Margot Robbie's production company Lucky Chap is producing a Monopoly movie. Lionsgate Motion Picture Chair Adam Fogelson said that Lucky Chap has a clear point of view on how to handle the movie. He added, I don't
God, boy, this guy's got a lot I to say, doesn't he?
Yeah. I could not imagine a better production team for this beloved and iconic brand than Lucky Chap.
Yuck, first of all, yuck and vomit.
He's excited for it. Can't you let a man love a thing and produce a product that we can all enjoy?
I guess I can do that, sure.
Thank you.
I mean, our podcast is based entirely on that.
Exactly.
Letting a man love a thing and produce a product based on that thing.
They are exceptional producers who choose their projects with great thought and care and join Monopoly with a clear point of view. We are tremendously excited to be working with the entire Lucky Chap team on what we believe can be their next blockbuster. I'm not saying this couldn't be good because it could be, but this is again them being like, what worked in Barbie? Oh, it was a toy. And then that's, I guess Margot Robbie as well. They brought Margot Robbie in.
And I get, but I also feel like what worked in Barbie is that Barbie inherently has no structure. There's no structure and there's no backstory really to Barbie, except she's a woman who can do anything kind of thing. And so it's like, this is a similar thing. It's like we can build any storyline we want. It'll be another Anchorman style story.
Do you want
story,
to be sucked into the world of Monopoly? And then you go to jail.
I don't want to go to jail.
For not paying your rent.
No, I don't want that.
You should go to jail for that.
Oh, come on though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monopoly is a brutal fucking game.
Agreed.
I mean,
that's the point.
The way that you destroy each other, but also just like timeline wise, this goes forever.
Well, that's because people don't play it by the actual rules,
which is. Flip the board.
It's flip the board. No, it's whenever you land on a property, if you don't buy it, it goes to auction. That's why the games go for so long, because people land on a thing and they go, okay, not the one I want. I wanted the ones at the end. I wanted the expensive ones at the end. So I'm not
I buy everything.
Yeah.
That's my monopoly. Just buy everything you land on.
Yeah. That's why these games go forever.
Okay.
And there's other rules that people are like.
And it's also a bad game. I don't like it. Though I will say this. Monopoly card game takes 15 minutes. It's the spirit of Monopoly. You can very quickly crush somebody.
Okay, great.
But it's over. You're not playing it for 9 hours.
Great.
Yeah.
And at the end, everybody goes to jail?
Everyone has to go to jail.
That's terrific.
I bought him a special Transformers version of that. I bought it from like overseas. It's like Japanese or something.
Transformers Monopoly.
Well, he does have Transformers Monopoly, but this is Transformers Card Monopoly, which is different.
Okay, right.
But he doesn't know it's a secret.
All right, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to spring him on him one day.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe when he's 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what were you saying?
What was I saying?
Monopoly.
Monopoly.
Do you think it can be better than the movie Battleship, which was also based on a board game?
I think it could be better than that, yes.
Battleship is also a bullshit game. It's just fucking grid guessing game. It's
yes.
It's nothing.
Wow.
It's nothing. It's a nothing game.
Well, I mean, James, if you break down anything, it'll sound like that. Oh, Super Mario Brothers is just jumping onto blocks, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's fun. This is like, is your battleship on B3? It's not? Okay. Well, is it on A7? No, it's not? Great. Oh, I found one.
Those things are okay and great, though, you know?
It's boring.
And it teaches kids
that fucking guessing
James,
game.
James, it teaches kids that sometimes you can't sink a battleship and that's okay and also great. And that's great. But yeah, I think this, if I had to guess, I would say that this is going to be another Anchorman-style movie and Will Ferrell is Rich Uncle Pennybags.
Oh, wow.
If I had to guess.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Like a nonsensical, farcical.
Nonsensical,
universe.
Farcical, and he loses all his money at the start and he has to build his way back up.
Sweet.
In a Monopoly world or in the regular world? Don't know yet.
Also, but the Monopoly man doesn't have a monocle. Think about it. He doesn't, everybody.
Does he not?
Nope. You're
thinking Mr. Peanut?
Never.
I saw a guy the other day wearing a Mr. Peanut jacket.
Yeah.
Like he was wearing, it's like one of those like zip-up rain jackets, but it had like a Mr. Peanut monogram on it, on the chest.
Oh, okay.
Like embroidered on. And I wanted to ask him, hey, man, where do you get that? So but then I figured I could Google it.
So people say they remember the Monopoly man with a monocle.
Okay.
Like this person is
a Mandela effect thing?
Yeah, but actually he doesn't have a monocle.
Interesting.
He's never had a monocle.
Wow, so he's got perfect vision or he doesn't admit that he has bad vision.
Yeah, that's right. Or he had laser eye surgery in the 40s.
That's right.
So he's completely blind.
Yeah. They did it with a howitzer.
And a hammer. All right, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
There was a new logo for Transformers 1.
Transformers 1.
Out in September. They showed some footage.
Did they? I didn't see it.
No, we didn't see it. Apparently it's got Orion Pax in it, though, and they're going to find the Matrix of Leadership or something in the Matrix because then they get their transforming forms.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So that's the idea. It's set on Cybertron.
Oh, they're non-transforming initially.
At this point,
whoa,
yeah.
Whoa, so they're going to earn their Transformers powers.
Yeah, you got to go.
Oh, what a classic. What a classic modern day.
What a classic Transformers story.
Oh, my God. Because there's nothing worse than watching a movie or a TV series or whatever and they have their power, the characters have their powers straight away and they can transform into cool cars and planes and stuff. What you want them to do
boring.
Is just wander around for 6 episodes.
It's a movie.
Well, I want them
six
to wander.
6 movies.
See, I want them to wander around for 6 movies.
One every 2 years for 12 years.
Okay. Well, yeah. I want them to just gain their powers in the third act and be like, well, I'm a truck now.
An Optimus Prime now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you think he'll get an Optimus Prime at the end or do you think he'll just become Optimus and then
in the next
movie he'll get it handed down to him from whoever the previous guy was. Mm. Who was it again? Sentinel Prime maybe?
Peter Prime. Yeah.
Yeah. So I am looking forward to this really. Like let's do a Transformers movie which is just the Transformers stuff, man.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
Even if it is an hour of looking for the Transformers device.
Right.
I'm excited for this. And not as excited as I am for this piece of Transformers news.
Go on.
Where it's confirmed that a Transformers G.I. Joe crossover film is happening.
Yes. Yeah.
And get this.
Go on. No director,
no story, no cast, no timeline. How are you feeling about that? So but that leaves endless possibilities.
And it could be us.
We could be in it and directing it.
And that's right, and write it.
Yep.
Oh, and if the possibilities are endless, like anything we do is genius.
Yeah.
How about put some stuff in that warehouse, we could say.
Oh, my God.
Wait. Don't. Before you start putting stuff in the warehouse, G.I. Joe stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It can't just be anything.
These guys are good.
Can't just be like long life milk.
Yeah, that's right.
Joy to keep.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does. It's not in the spirit of G.I. Joe or Transformers.
But don't throw out all that long life milk.
I think
the G.I. Joes would probably use long life.
Take
milk.
It so on you a mission.
Put that on their trucks and some in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I think. Some in the kitchenette, in the break room.
Exactly. I mean, because Henry Golding was talking about this the other week
and
the future, and he's Snake Eyes.
He's Snake Eyes.
So I think they could just fold him into this universe because
right?
he's the one person in this universe that they've already cast.
And that anybody remembers.
And the guy who was guarding the warehouse or whatever. Remember he was like, I'm from G.I. Joe. He's my G.I. Joe.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. General G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they could make John Cena Duke because he was in Bumblebee.
That's true.
They technically just could do that.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. This means we're going to have to, do the Snake Eyes review.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll probably do the animated G.I. Joe movie and the Snake Eyes movie is Caravan of Garbage. Yeah. But in the lead up to that, we'll probably just do an episode.
Yep.
On the, of this Terrific. Show.
Yeah. We could do it next week. We've got to do that other thing, that show we're talking about.
We've got to do several shows and Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
And then we'll do
Okay. Keeps disappearing out of my mind, Rebel Moon 2, the Scaregiver Boo. Boo.
Transformers G.I. Joe. I mean, imagine, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
We're jaded and we're old and we're dying.
Yeah.
And our brains are misfiring. But imagine if this was 30 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Imagine how, if you heard this.
You got Snake Eyes, he's standing on the shoulders of Optimus Prime. Yes. You're like, whoa.
What's he, how's he going to get down? Oh, he did a flip.
He did a flip
and he landed quite comfortably.
Right. Yes.
So imagine.
Yeah, that'd
I mean,
be crazy.
I just want him to go all out, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just all out.
Yeah.
Nonsense G.I. Joe stuff from various whatever they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Not really a fan.
All in their
stuff. Don't not give, black tactical nonsense.
Don't give us camouflage whatever unless he's there a camouflage guy. I want
then you're
the,
a camouflage
you
guy.
Want, you want the scuba guy to be just standing in the ops room in his scuba gear with the tanks on. The whole like he's never like time to suit up. He's always the scuba
he's
guy.
He's ready.
He's ready the whole time.
He's running up to Megatron. And he's wearing his big flippers.
The undercover guy is always wearing a Hawaiian shirt. It doesn't matter what situation he has to be.
He's running up to Megatron.
That's
he's
exactly
wearing
right.
a Hawaiian shirt.
Exactly. And all the Transformers have to transform into their old modes.
Yes.
I don't want Wheeljack turning into that van or whatever. He's got to turn into that weird, obscure race car that wouldn't fool anybody because you'd be like, what's that legendary race car doing? You know?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Do it.
Just do it.
Can you imagine
it's
all the...
not hard.
All the G.I. You pair up a G.I. Joe with a...
Yes.
With a Transformer
and they
have a little adventure together.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Duke and Optimus Prime probably. They're
buddies. They're
buddies, I think, yeah.
And Duke got speared with a snake.
Yeah. Scarlet could team up with a lady Transformer because they're both ladies.
That's true. That would be perfect,
cool,
actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably a motorbike one.
Absolutely.
A motorbike one, Mason.
Motorbike one.
Anyway, I'm excited for this, I think. But also, you know.
Sure. The whole, all the stuff we said about no writer and no director and no timeline.
And the introduction to it in the last movie was nothing, et cetera, because they clearly hadn't thought about it.
Well, maybe the worst reveal of all time in movies.
Maybe.
The worst Citizen Kane in the end, the reveal. They just open a door to a warehouse.
Yep.
It's like the answer to Rosebud's in here somewhere, I think.
Yeah. It's behind that long life milk. Mason.
Yes.
There is an R-rated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Last Ronin movie in the works.
Whoa.
I fucking love this.
That's
it's
cool.
Written by Tyler Burton-Smith, who did the 2019 Child's Play movie, which might have been the AI one.
Okay,
AI
sure.
robot.
Oh, yep, that's right.
And he, unless it's the series, I can't remember. And he also has written Boy Kills World, which is upcoming soon.
Okay. Well, these sound like shows and movies with attitude.
That's right, exactly.
To make a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
What I love about Ninja Turtles is, and we covered this for Book Club, didn't we?
That's true, we did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that you can cater it to any age.
That's true.
Like they've got the animated stuff that's been coming out.
Uh-huh, yeah. Why not cater it to the 40-year-olds?
Yeah, man, give something for us. Give me something for once in my
That's
life.
Right.
I want a nostalgic property that caters to me specifically.
That's
just
right.
for just one time.
Just one time. Is it that hard? God.
So, I mean, if you don't know the story, I'm not going to spoil like who the last Ronin is, but three of the four Ninja Turtles are dead,
mm-hmm.
set probably 20 years after they were teenagers. Mm-hmm. And the last remaining Ninja Turtle comes back to New York
mm-hmm.
and the new Shredder has taken over. And whoever this turtle may be,
yes.
the last Ronin must get the streets back or something.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's sort of a Blade Runner.
It's time to get the streets back or something.
I wonder if this is animated or...
That's a great question, yeah.
I hope it's... I would like it in the style of the 80s movie.
I think they should do
like
it in the style of the
Blade
80s
Runner
movie.
Updated.
And they should use the old Ninja Turtle suits, all the rotting old
God.
Suits.
Yeah.
Just with the exposed teeth.
Yeah.
Because their faces have rotted away.
I think it will be a hybrid of... live action suit and CGI. Like they'll do like the face and
mm-hmm.
when they need to.
Yeah.
But I think they'll lean into nostalgia finally.
Yeah.
And you know, they'll give the 40-year-olds what they want finally. Yeah.
But man, look, and again, you're absolutely right. They will do they'll be like, well, there's barely any CG and we've built the suits for real and then they all CGI everything. But imagine if they did it in the old style, the
80s. They could. They
just
really
to say
could.
It's the same continuity as the 80s one.
Yeah.
You know? You could even set it now-ish.
Set it now-ish.
Maybe.
Yeah, 30 years on.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because the comic book is set in a kind of flying car future a little
bit.
But you, I think you could set it.
Yeah.
You could be like, New York City's crumbling.
New York City, get a pizza. Get a slice of pizza. Anyway, if you read the comic, if you haven't as well. It's good. If you like Ninja Turtles. If you don't like it, you won't like it.
Yeah, read a comic about art or whatever.
Yeah, read an art comic, dumbass. Mason.
Read a comic about relationships.
Don't even bother.
Yeah.
The Joker 2 got a trailer.
That's right.
The biggest trailer of the week. It's actually Warner Brothers' biggest trailer since Barbie. Now, in the last Joker movie,
yes,
where we left Arthur Fleck, he was imprisoned for because he shot Robert
De Niro.
Oh,
Arthur Fleck only just got that.
That's good, isn't it? And also we
Has
know,
anybody asked Ben Affleck what he thinks about that? They must have.
Maybe. I assume so at some point.
I'm going to look it up.
But the last one cost $60 million.
Okay.
Do you know the budget on this one?
Is it $200 million?
It is $200 million, yeah, which is the standard fee for a movie these
that's
days.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that's fun. It seems like the trailer as well, it's doing that thing where it's hiding it's a musical.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Which I love. Yeah. Has anybody asked Ben Arthur Fleck about this?
Doesn't say. Comicbook.com has asked, Joker fans still wondering if a villain's name is trolling former Batman.
Don't troll, all right? Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. We don't know, James.
No, we really don't. Mm. Well, that's the way it goes.
Let's wait till Ben Affleck is doing The Town 2 or whatever.
Yeah,
and be exactly. Hey.
Ben, did you like playing Batman? It's a follow-up question. Do you think you'll ever return to Batman? Follow-up question, Arthur Fleck, what do you think?
What do you think about that? Follow-up question, Clerks 4.
Probably.
Clerks 4.
I think, I am skeptical, but this could really be something, really. Mm. We're both kind of lukewarm, you more so on the first one.
Absolutely, because it was bad.
So, but there's some stuff in the trailer which I think is interesting. Some is a little on the nose or on the lips, as it were, Mason.
Oh, yes.
Do you think the big musical numbers are all in their head?
I reckon they all are, probably except the last one.
Yeah.
I reckon the last one, they're like, we're going to blow up this town or whatever, and then they're going to do a musical.
What if the reveal is they're like, Lady Gaga, why did you broke out the Joker and you made him turn into the Joker again. And when we see these movies, all of us are at risk of turning into the Joker.
That's exactly
obviously.
Right. Yeah, remember and, the last time most of our listeners turned into the Joker, if I recall, when we reviewed it.
Yeah.
Some of them didn't even see it yet.
We lost a lot of viewers and listeners, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I mean.
They're still running the streets.
That's right.
Roaming and running
about.
It
was dangerous.
Screaming
So this is
running.
Doubly dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, less because, you know, we've got like three female listeners. So.
What about the...
But they'll all turn into Lady Joker Harley Quinn, yeah.
Do you think there's a possibility at the end they go, Arthur Fleck, he was murdered. You imagined Arthur Fleck. You thought he was real and you were in love with him.
So it's all in her head.
Yeah, because he imagined a girlfriend and now you imagined a boyfriend. We twisted it.
Yeah, okay.
It's a big twist for you.
There is no end to the amount of twists that might be in this movie. And I think that's incredible.
Is it chilling?
It's chilling, actually, yeah. Because then I, you know, maybe we would imagine a Joker or a Harley Quinn. Maybe we're imagining it right now.
Exactly.
Maybe there never was a Joaquin Phoenix Todd Phillips. Like, can you imagine the guy who directed The Hangover directing this movie?
I can't imagine it.
With the assistance of Martin Scorsese, he was there helping?
Yeah, he was definitely there.
Can you imagine
that? But we did look into it, I think, when we did the commentary on Joker, but Martin Scorsese had literally nothing to
Absolutely.
Do with this movie.
Yeah.
But somehow he ended up promoting it.
God, the marketing team's good.
Anyway, there's a moment where you see the Joker being chased by a big Joker.
Oh, that's right, yes.
There's a moment, as mentioned, where they do a big double stair kick together.
Yeah, that's right. And they seem to be set on a sound stage. So that makes me think, and there's people surrounding them, which makes me think that's it. I think maybe the most interesting part is that Harley Quinn seems to be an inmate, not a doctor.
Is she home at some point, though?
Well,
like, do you see her like out in the real world?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you think this means, James?
What?
There's a moment where Arthur Fleck. I only just got that.
Yeah.
He's being walked through the Arkham facility outdoors and all the umbrellas are in color.
Yeah.
It's colorful. Is that just Joker colors?
I think that maybe that's how she sees him, but he's under the umbrellas and he can't see because of the darkness.
Oh,
and she has to bring
out
the Joker in him. She's like, remember who you are.
Sure.
And he's like,
You're the Joker.
I'm the Joker.
Yeah.
I'm a Joker.
A lot of meme stuff in here. Lady Gaga shooting herself in the head.
That's fun.
That'll be a big meme in future, I think.
Yeah.
When
you can never predict memes, Mason. Yeah.
My face when I imagine my boyfriend, but he's not real, and I shoot myself in the head. You know? And then you do that meme.
You do the thing, yeah.
It's an animated GIF.
Yeah, it is an animated GIF.
Yeah.
Did you see the double stair kick, the two kicks?
Yes, I saw the double stair kick. And this is very La La Land,
it
I
is,
feel.
Yeah. It's, you know, do you reckon they're going to be miming or singing? She can sing, obviously. Can he sing?
Probably.
He probably could, right?
Yeah.
Take some singing lessons.
Yeah. There's some dancing on the streets where there's some disaster.
He's being chased by the big Joker there.
Big Joker. That's a big classic Joker as well.
Yeah.
Okay. He's
chased by original big Joker.
Yeah. Now, there's also a scene that's set in a nightclub and it's Harley and Joker.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
Are they at the nightclub or are they imagining
it? Well, I don't know. They seem to be doing some hot jazz.
Yeah, that
and
looks
performing.
Imagined.
Okay, all right. Being better dragged away by the cops, imagined or real?
Classic, the Joker.
What about this? Harley's in a
I
Harley
think
costume.
That's a court case. Well, Steve Coogan's
big,
there.
Yep, Steve Coogan's there.
Did you
there.
See Big Joker again?
Yeah, no, the big kick.
Ah.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, that's imaginary.
Yeah.
Oh, what a time. Somebody's breaking into a house or
she's
a
turning
shop.
Into the. She's turning into the Joker. Did you see
yeah,
that? Saw,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, at the end, where she's like, I want to see the real, the Joker.
Uh-huh.
And she draws the lipstick and then he lines up and he does the big smile.
That's blown people's
minds. Did that give you chills?
I was already chilled to the bone.
Yeah.
With the potential of what this is and what this will turn our remaining listeners into, Jokers and Harley Quinns.
Yeah. Did it chill like inside of your bones though?
No.
Did the chilling...
No, my marrow remains lukewarm. I'm like a microwave pie. I'm hot on the outside, inside, still cold.
Still cold.
Unpleasant. Okay. And you bite into it and you're like, oh, I'll put that in for another couple of minutes.
Yeah. And now it's bad.
Now
it's
it is
too
bad.
Hot on the outside.
I mean, it was already bad.
Yeah. So people are saying that also I saw that, you know, that smile that he does?
Yes.
Like it only doesn't line up with how she sees him. It lines up with the camera.
Okay.
Because, you know, the perspective of the smile, doesn't work. See what
okay.
I'm saying?
Yes, but what are you where are you going
I'm
with
I'm saying
this?
That, like, she wouldn't have seen that. She would have just seen a man smiling next,
oh, sure,
to, a,
yeah.
next to a red smear.
Right, uh-huh.
Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, where's the music coming from? Oh, there isn't a band actually in the scene. So where's the music coming from? That's you. Why don't you enjoy the magic of cinema, James?
I got chills. Isn't that enough?
That is enough.
Isn't it enough that I got chills?
I guess it's enough you got chills. Yeah. You got chills and critique of this beautiful scene. With beautiful imagery. Wow. They sort of cancel each other out, I think. So you got nothing out of this. This was a big zero for you.
Did you see this? Jeremy Loves All said this on Twitter. Joker 2 director Todd – this is from CinemaCon. Joker 2 director Todd Phillips confirms the Joker is bisexual.
I did see that.
The quote is, he's bisexual and stuff.
I did see that.
It's not real.
I was going to say, it's not a real quote. Okay.
That would be
very funny. Again,
he's bisexual and stuff.
Yeah. Just to get a bunch of people, again, to – model their entire personality around the Joaquin Phoenix Joker and then just be like, and he's bisexual. He's actually that. Yeah. And he poos his pants on.
And he poos his pants and he walks around in that. He doesn't even change him.
That's all right.
He's got his big white briefs. His wet white briefs. I got chills just thinking about the Joker pooing his pants and dancing in his big wet white briefs, Mason.
That's great. Wow.
Anyway, I think this could be good.
Yeah.
Really. We joke like the Joker.
That's right.
And we're in danger of turning into the Joker.
Because we joke like the Joker, and it's a slippery slope, isn't it? It's the first step in turning into the Joker.
That's
you start
right.
joking like the Joker.
Exactly.
Your jokes get a little bit dark.
Yeah. But it becomes too real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you're like, sometimes, you know, I go, crime's actually good.
What?
And I'm like, no, that was a joke.
Yeah, I hope so.
It just came out of my mouth. I don't know. I don't start suddenly believing that.
That's not okay, Mason, you said that.
Yeah.
That's out on October 4th of this year.
Okay, good, good.
Good?
Good, good, good.
Me too. I think it's good.
I think it's good also.
Should we move it along?
Yeah, let's move it along.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Civil War.
That's right.
On a budget of $50 million. The box office's return for this, it's looking to be about a 20 million US opening. This could have the highest opening of any A24 movie ever.
A24. We distribute movies and make movies too, I think. Maybe.
You tell us. Yeah. What do you want us to do? More brands, I think.
Yeah, we do that, I think.
I think they're doing more brands, remember?
We've got a great logo though, don't we?
They do have a great logo, don't they?
Comes in as if by magic.
Now, normally I say to you, what do you think the story was? But I've got the synopsis here. It says, when the collective governments decide to ratify the Sokovia Accords, a legal document that regulates superhuman activity.
He's found a new avenue for this joke he does.
It leads to a disorder that's between Captain America and
Iron Man.
This is
his I identify as an attack helicopter. It's his one joke that he's got.
Mason, what do you think the story really was?
Oh, come on, mate. All right. So there's a civil war in America.
Yeah.
The why is largely irrelevant.
Yep.
And we've got a bunch of journalists. They're trekking across America.
America. This is America.
They're going to see the president and take photos.
We've got to see the president.
They've got to talk to the president.
This is America.
That's right.
Yeah, where's the president?
What's America if you can't talk to the president?
Where's the president?
That's right.
You tell us where he is.
Anyway, that's their fun adventures.
Yeah, it's a fun adventure.
It's fun, light-hearted adventures. They're going to do some fishing, get out their fishing poles, you know.
Going to take some photos.
Yeah,
they might visit a town or that's two right. along
yeah.
the way.
That's right.
They might learn a little bit of something about themselves and each other.
That's right.
Yeah. They might experience the horrors of war.
No.
No?
No, they do.
They do quite
a
bit.
They very much do, yeah. Now, from a cursory conversation, James,
yes.
one of our cursory conversations that we have sometimes
that's right.
off air, I got the impression you didn't really like this movie.
I liked it, but I didn't love it. I wanted to really like it because I like Alex Garland's films I universally like.
You're a Garhead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are the ones he's written and also that he's directed.
You're normally Gaga for... What's his name again? I've forgotten. Garland. You're Gaga for Garland.
Very good. Yeah. Thank you, Mason. Yeah. That's a good joke.
Gara. You're Lady Gaga for Garland.
Yes, I am. Right. He wrote The Beach. Mm-hmm. He wrote 28 Days Later.
Yep.
He directed... I didn't love Men, the movie Men. I thought there was some
interesting elements to Men.
I think this is better than Men, though.
Okay.
I think if he hadn't have directed this, I think I would have... I think my expectation of it being him
would be lower.
Yeah. So if this came from like I don't know, just like this is a director that you sort of know, and
this is Ron Howard.
This is Ron Howard.
Ron Howard.
Well, I like Ron Howard movies also, but yeah, I don't know. I think I was expecting a little bit more from it, and not maybe in the ways of that some people are saying that you know, like the insight into the politics and how it got here, because I think that stuff is. Like scattered throughout.
Yeah, right. If you're going into this and you want a very vague premise here is that the states of Texas and California have seceded.
California.
That's right. They've seceded.
Texas.
Nice. Got them both. And that's what we want to do there.
I see both sides.
Yeah, they have seceded from the United States. Mm-hmm. They are teaming up.
Yep.
And their forces, their military forces are encroaching on Washington, D.C.
Yep.
So they can get the president.
They're going to get the president.
Played by Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
For a minute.
He's in it for a minute. I think he's in the trailers more than he's in the movie.
And if like us, and I know very little about American politics, but if you're like, it doesn't sound like two states that would team up. I wonder if they're going to explain that in the movie. They don't.
No.
And I think that, I mean, the justification to me seems like if they just said Texas was seceding, or if they just said California was seceding,
yeah,
there'd be people, you know, in the media going, huh, yeah.
Typical.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, okay. And it'd be and I think people are expecting this movie to be divisive in that way, or they wanted it to take a particular stance on division in the United States.
I think it does, but it also, what it does kind of muddle, and a lot of it is intentional, is who you're meeting and what they believe along the way.
Yeah.
And you can kind of figure a lot of it out through context cues. Mm-hmm. I've seen people like figure it out afterwards. I've seen posts about, well, this person's from this because of the colors.
Well, they say, I'm from Texas and I've got a gun.
And I'm going to do it. Yeah. I'm going to shoot the president. Yeah.
So I think that is a deliberate measure to prevent a bunch of people saying, well, I'm not going to see this because it's obviously biased against the left or the right or what have you. And is that a non-stance to take?
Well, like,
to me, it felt like, If you've got a sci-fi movie and they're like, okay, someone invented time travel and the rules are 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And if someone were to go, well, I don't think time travel's possible. Well, then if you're not going to get on board with the premise, I guess you're going to miss out on the movie, the events of the movie. And it kind of feels like that to me. Like, it is kind of a cop-out to not say who is, who is in the wrong or the right, or
I think it does though. Like, I think it just doesn't tell you explicitly because.
But you just have to get on board and go, okay, totally. Well, I suppose. And they never even justify it really. They never, there is something to do with the president has taken a third term, but they don't really explain why. And there was a massacre, but they don't really explain why.
No.
It's an Antifa massacre, but they don't say if Antifa got massacred.
No, I thought that was...
They did the massacre. But I think it makes more, like...
I think it's also because it's focused more on the journalistic side of things.
Yes.
Which I knew going in. I wasn't like, what the hell? Like, I knew that. So it was more kind of like, this is through the eyes of journalists who are trying to just be there and capture the moment and then put it out to the world. And the world decides from the imagery and what they're hearing about what is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But like you said, like the president's in his third term, he's hostile to reporters, like he's killing them, he's disbanded the FBI. Mm-hmm. Like the people that you meet, or one in particular who seems to be on the side that he is on, is a horrible racist and a murderer.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's pretty clear what they are trying to say.
Right. Uh-huh.
But there is a lot of vagueness intentionally.
Yeah.
And that doesn't bother me. What I didn't love about this is I didn't think the journalistic side was very well fleshed out in terms of what it does to a person and developing their personalities.
Okay.
I found it and very kind of cliche and predictable about what was going to happen to like the grizzled veteran photographer.
Oh, interesting.
Like I was like, you know, I thought it kind of, and I thought Kirsten Dunst in this was really, really good.
Yeah. So we got the main cast. We got Kirsten Dunst. A grizzled photojournalist. Yeah. Not grizzled, but like...
Yeah, you know, I would say like...
Veteran.
There's a wariness of what she's been doing, and she's also self-aware that she's been completely burnt out by doing this for years, like overseas and then having it come to where she lives.
Yeah.
And there's also, she's still, you know, very fearful about being in these situations that she's constantly putting herself in. I thought she played it really well.
Yeah, and then we got Wagner Moura, who people would know. He was in...
He's in Narcos.
He was also in Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, he was
recently, one of the
other
Mr. Smiths.
It's true,
And then we've got Kaylee Spaney, who I didn't see this movie, but she was Priscilla in the movie Priscilla.
She was Priscilla,
and she was also in a bunch of stuff. She was in Devs, I think, and so was...
Oh, there's a few others in...
Yeah, Stephen McKinley Henderson.
Yeah, and Nick Offerman's in Devs
Devs, yeah, so... Yeah.
Devs is great, actually.
Yeah, it's interesting. Seeing Kaylee Spaney in this, I'm like, I don't really know much about her, but I've seen her, and she's in Pacific Rim Uprising, apparently.
Yeah, that's right.
She's in Bad Times at the El Royale. She's in Vice.
I thought she was much younger than, but she's 25. And seeing her in this, I'm like, oh, she would have been a good Ally, Last of Us.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. And we get Stephen McKinley Henderson, who you would know from Dune 1, but not in Dune 2, because he's
cut out of Dune 2.
But he's in a bunch of stuff, and he's like the old-timey old school reporter, and he's got the suspenders, and he's he's from another era kind of thing.
There's some minor players as well,
like
Jesse Plemons.
Yeah, somebody got their bloody husband a role in this movie, didn't they?
Yeah, what I think was
Nepo husband.
If there was one kind of apolitical thing about this that does annoy me, it's the way that they're promoting it. And Alex Garland has been saying like, well, this doesn't mean anything. Like this is a look at both the left and the right and whatever. Mm. But I think the movie does definitively make statements on these things, and they're promoting it this way so that people will go and see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because I saw an interview where kind of he almost pretty much like admitted that like, no, it is kind of this thing,
right, uh-huh.
You know, it's a pretty clear allegory.
Yeah.
So I think it's for promotion.
We're living in a libertarian paradise and yeah. That's what I want.
I think it's a pretty, I don't know. It feels like just a marketing tactic.
Yeah. But what I like about I kind of felt like, it's, again, it is a sort of a road trip movie. It's a sort of a series of vignettes where they go through different
yes.
parts of the United States and we see how the war has affected or not affected people.
Yeah.
Are people ignoring it? Are people right into it? Are people clearly just out there with a gun and their worst impulses and being like...
Yep.
Which I kind of feel like Jesse Plemons' character is.
Totally.
He's maybe
he's military, but is he?
Yeah.
Probably.
Probably. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, there's a moment where they come across... like a sniper,
uh-huh.
and you don't know really who they're sniping for.
Yeah,
there's a bomb at the start, and you can figure it out,
uh-huh.
but there are
like a suicide bomb. Yeah,
and you're like, I don't know who this was for. Hmm.
But I think it is. I think it's very effective, and he's done. Alex Garland has done this before in terms of like just kind of harrowing and really tense scenes.
All the vignettes are really good.
Yeah.
But again, it's that in between stuff about like. I'm a photographer and I don't even care. Well,
see, but that's the thing. I think those characters did evolve to some degree. Like
yeah, I didn't think in any way that was
yeah, okay, yeah,
surprising.
Fair enough. Kirsten,
or
you know, we got
deep.
Kirsten Dunst and Wagner, and they're kind of they're the veterans, and they've seen it all, and they don't care.
Also, get a video camera.
You reckon? Not a get a.
Or you've all got phones, and I know the internet is like spotty, but like you don't want to film any of this. I don't know.
All right, okay.
I don't know. Anyway, go on.
Get a handy cam.
Yeah, get a handy, but literally just use your phone.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Anyway. Yeah. No. We got, I thought they had all fun little arcs.
Yeah.
Not fun.
I enjoyed, like, it does have an end of the world, almost like children of men vibe. Like you said, you'll go to a town that just seems to be people are just ignoring everything that's going on. And there's other times, like, you'll go to a service station and because, you know, petrol's a rare commodity and the US dollar isn't worth anything, there's just three armed guys standing out the front of it.
Yeah. And are they just – is it even their gas station?
Yeah.
Or are they there to kill you, you know? Are they just thrill killers who are just going to kill everybody who goes through?
Every time they approach, like, a town or an abandoned car or any kind of situation, there's a pause and, like – okay, what is this?
Yeah,
what absolutely. Are we walking into now? Which I thought was really effective.
Yeah.
I just don't think it didn't really get into the weeds of journalism.
Well, I kind of thought it did.
And,
we'll get to more in spoilers,
yeah.
I think.
I think it's also a good warning of like...
Look at us, a couple of Siskel Ebert's.
Oh, yeah.
Disagreeing on a minor aspect.
But I also think it is a really... It's a good display of... Because I think a lot of people romanticize even or talk up the idea of a civil war and taking action and
being
I'm
a hero.
Standing up for, yeah. But then I think this conveys the reality of just what a fucking nightmare mess it is.
Yeah, you could be just, you know, checking your corners or whatever and a sniper kills you from a kilometer away.
And they might not even know who you were.
Yeah, maybe you're supposedly on the same side. And it's just, you know, it's not like, you know, you're not. Flinging an innocent person over your shoulder and, you know, escape or whatever. Maybe you're just doing a small, you're clearing a house and you get shot and you die and that's it kind of thing.
I think there are people, though, that are, and it's not just in the US, that are kind of, they're clamoring for this world where they can, like, shoot their neighbors they don't like.
It's the zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
Mindset of like, well, here's my time.
Yep.
It's like, you don't want this time.
No.
You want the time you can just walk down to the cafe and get a donut.
I want
as
that
we
time.
Just did.
We just did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to, because I'll tell you this much, when the bombs start dropping, that cafe will be closed.
Ah.
Because it's after 3.
Ah.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a guy at the front, he's got a machine gun and you're like, can I have a muffin? And he's like, no, and he'll shoot you.
That's right.
And you're like, do you even work here? And he's like, maybe.
Maybe.
It'll be $300, thanks.
I'll take some money out of the till, and technically I work here. Yeah, you're right. It is in a similar genre to the Children of Men universe, which is where the world is ending, but we all still have to go to work.
Yeah, that's right, so. Yeah. I think, like, yeah, again, there's a lot of conversations of, like, this is why I do journalism and I'm desensitized and I'm not saying anything. I'm just here to capture a moment and maybe I'll learn something. We'll find out at the end if I learn anything.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's enough going on there for me. And some of the interactions also I don't necessarily believe. There's a moment where one character climbs into the car of a person she's never met at speed And I'm like, why would that happen?
Because it's cool, hang loose, bro.
Yeah, I guess the idea is that she's a young reporter and just like, I'm free and I'm
You find some joy
cool.
where you can find it, James. Hang loose, brother.
Yeah, well, she shouldn't have done it. It was a bad idea, actually.
Wow, all right, Dad.
I don't know. I just didn't think that, like, nobody would do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Best movie ever.
I'm going to say best movie ever.
I think I probably won't go back to the cinemas. I will watch this again because I think there's some things in here. I just mean in terms of the world building that I'd like to kind of, not to be like, I demand answers, but just
Where's
like...
Where's the law?
No, I just want to know, I like the little hints and I have been thinking about it, like, but not in terms of like, oh, how did this happen and whatever and why is it... Because I think it is a cohesive world.
Yeah, I'm sure
But
they
I just want to know more
yeah,
about it.
I'm sure they would have... There is some you know, a plot bible or a, you know...
Yeah.
I have seen a lot of people going like, where's the law? And I'm like, it's America. That's the law. What's the world they're in? It's America. That's the world they're in.
This is America.
That's right.
But I am going to say best movie ever.
I'm going to say best movie ever as well.
Yeah, not my favorite, but
yeah, a lot of attention. Again, it's not in the style of anything perhaps Alex Garland has done before.
Like, I think
it's
visually there's some stuff.
Visually, yeah, and in terms of tension building, and I think like the soundscape as well.
Really good, yeah.
You know, there's some really great use of you know.
Bang.
Dramatic bangs and dramatic silences if people aren't eating popcorn in your...
Bang. Was someone eating popcorn?
Somebody was so rustling and eating popcorn.
What are they rustling about? Would they buy a rustly bag of popcorn?
Yeah, they did.
They give it to you in boxes for a reason.
That's right. And when I came in, it was maybe a third full cinema.
Mm.
And when I came in, there were two people sitting down and one of them was, of course, in my seat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't be bothered arguing with these two. So I moved to the seat behind them and then some people came in and it seemed... pretty obvious that I was in their seat.
Yeah.
So, but they just sat down.
Well,
and then the two people who were in my seat, they left at about the 30-minute mark.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Someone was in my seat, mm-hmm. so I just went on my phone. I'm just looking at this guy, and I'm like, is this worth it? No.
Yeah.
So I went on my phone, and you can change your seat in the app.
Oh, okay.
So I just did that.
Nice.
And then I went up and said, you know you're a moron, right? Mm. You know you're a big moron, and everybody hates you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we got in a fight.
Nice.
And I lost.
No, you shouldn't have gotten the fight.
I know.
But you thought you'd win.
I thought I was going to win. I wouldn't have started it otherwise.
That's right. You look weak.
He beat me up so much, Mason.
Now you're weak.
I thought I was tough, but I wasn't.
You
hurt me.
You were the king of the cinema, but now he's the king of the cinema. And you're the surf of the cinema.
My kids were there.
Yeah, that's right. Now you're the peasant of your own family.
Anyway.
Let's get into some big time spoilers. I mean, there's not a ton. I was going to say, yeah, like, you know, in terms of sound design, the silence and that sort of stuff. And yeah, the good visuals.
The final action scene is really good.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Build up to that.
Yeah,
all
right.
Really
so
good.
We're in, let's hit big time spoiler time territory right now. It's big time spoiler time.
Yeah. Anyway, they have to get the president. And the speech that the president gives at the start of the movie implies that he's winning. And you very quickly find out that, oh no, this is a man who's about to lose and he's bluffing.
Yeah.
Because fairly early on in the movie, they're like, yeah, we're going to go and kill the president and we need to interview the president because before they kill the president.
Yeah, everybody's going to kill the president.
And they're like, are they going to take the president alive? And they're like, no, we're definitely going to shoot the president.
Yeah.
Don't you even worry about it. But so, yeah, so the whole final sequence is them storming Washington, D.C.,
uh-huh.
blowing up the Lincoln Memorial
Monument. Not the Lincoln Memorial.
Whatever.
Not the Ape Lincoln Memorial.
No.
This is in the Planet of the Apes.
It is, actually. Yeah, the Mark Wahlberg
one. If you're expecting any kind of sci-fi twist just because of what Garland is, you're not going to get it.
Yeah, at the end he goes, and it was all in a computer.
That's right. This was just a simulation of what might happen. In a way, all movies are simulations of what might happen.
I bet you didn't know that, idiot.
Yeah, that's
By the way,
right.
I saw you lose that fight. And I went, what? And then it cut to black.
But he's just assuming there's somebody losing a fight in a cinema at any moment. That's not technology.
No, you're right. So, yeah, that whole sequence of them going in and, you know, and I guess...
The journalists have embedded with this team and they've got tanks and helicopters and they're storming Washington and they're fighting their way through barricades and then they're, you know, there's a couple of escaping presidential cars that get, you know, riddled with bullets, but it turns out the president's not in them. It was a ruse. He's still in the...
Yeah, and they're just killing anybody.
Yeah.
Like, it really is... Like, it's clearly like a situation where you shouldn't be killing the press secretary
for no reason. At one point, we get... I think as a press secretary who's in the White House and she's like, the president wants to negotiate his surrender and they just shoot her.
Yeah, exactly. You know. And they're like... She's like, he's got terms. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
We're going to shoot him.
Yeah.
And then they do.
Yeah. And then, of course, we get... we get the young photojournalist who's been tagging along. She wants to get the perfect shot.
I mean, who didn't see this coming?
No, absolutely. And she gets in the way of some oncoming fire, and then Kirsten Dunst's character leaps in front of her and
gets shot. And because there's an earlier moment where she's like, the little photographer to Kirsten Dunst.
You're going
like,
to do a little, if little lady voice. Here it is.
If I get died, will you take a photo of me? And she's like, what do you think? I'm a photographer. I'll do what
right.
I want.
That's right.
But also then Kirsten Dunst's arc, I guess, is that at the end she saves her and takes a bullet for her.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to say about the character.
I thought it was like, for a second, I'm like, did the young journalist do this on purpose to get the photo of the president? Because it just seemed really contrived.
Yeah, okay,
and
right.
The whole situation, because she, of course, takes the photo of Kirsten Dunst dying, and then it's like, well, haven't the tables been turned?
And Nick Offerman being shot a bunch of times while he's on the ground. Yeah, that's those true. As well. But I feel like we get Dunstan's arc and Wagner Moura's arc as two people who are they've been all around the world, and we see some quite harrowing images of their career in the past of people getting set on fire in conflict zones. Yeah. But I thought their arcs are a sort of a combination of. They thought they'd seen it all and they're sort of kind of dead to the world kind of thing. But it's different when it's in your own country.
And it's your own people.
It's your own people. Yeah. And I think that, that Kirsten Dunst's character sees something in herself in the young journalist, and then at the end she kind of she regains some of that humanity and is like, okay, we're not here to be neutral,
Yeah.
About- and Mr. Weed Smoker there, he's all, I'm over it and everything. But when his friends get shot, when Jesse Plemons' character puts a couple of bullets, then he's like standing on the side of the road screaming. It is different when it's,
When it's you, yeah. And what I also thought was interesting was, he's obviously good friends with Kirsten Dunst's character. And after she gets shot, it's just before they go in to see the president.
Yeah. And he's like, eh.
They just leave it because he's so like, because that's ultimately who he is also. He's a guy who's like, she's dead. And I'll think about this later, but I need a quote from the president.
Yeah.
Get a camera also, man. He's just running around asking questions and remembering. Mm. Get a camera or a tape recorder, dude. I mean, what are you doing?
I mean, respect for remembering anything in this day and age, obviously. But yeah, no,
I thought that was interesting where he was just like, the friends where he had time to mourn, he took the time to scream and get drunk, he was just like, I can't do this right now.
There's no time for you, Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best sequence, a lot of people have been talking about this, is the Jesse Plemons moment, probably.
Mr. Dunst himself
turns up. And so he takes two of them captive, and he's
after the very irresponsible car swap of people jumping in between moving cars, very dangerous, as you said.
I said that.
Just people living life, but whatever, you can.
Well, look at them now. Dead.
They are dead.
Some of them are dead.
Yeah, but I mean, it would have been just a different configuration of them being dead later.
Yeah, well, that
imagine.
Is true, yeah. But it's, I thought...
But here's the thing as well, because the two characters that get shot, they're Wagner Moura's characters, friends and colleagues.
We may have met earlier, I don't even remember.
Yeah, but also, the Jesse Plemons' character makes a big deal of, like, where are you from?
Yeah.
Are you from Texas? Are you, California? Like, is he trying to figure out whether they're from Texas or California, so he can shoot them or let them live or what have you? Or is he just a racist? Because they're both Asian.
Exactly. And with the Wagner Moura character, he was clearly like, when he's like Florida, he was like, you don't look like you're from Florida.
Yeah, you look like you're not
white. There was definitely, and I think he probably would have shot him if they were two Asian guys there.
Yeah, right.
Like, and maybe it would have just gone that way eventually anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right. That vignette and the tension building in it, and it's, and it, again, it's a case of like,
and he's just casually raising and lowering his gun.
Yeah.
Like if the glasses are like, are you even military?
Exactly. Yeah. Or is he a hobbyist?
Yeah.
Is he? Because that's what I thought was so interesting about, because America is such a big place and everything's so segregated into these states. So much of it was like, are there people in these states who have officially joined these militaries, or are they just people who have heard this is happening and are like, well, time to take up arms? And
the president's on the radio and he said this.
Maybe I can shoot the president.
Maybe if you
come through here,
or
I can
help
shoot
him.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But yeah, there's the tension raising in that, and then he gets hit by a car, and that's pretty fun. It's a fun moment. Cool. You should have heard that car coming, by the way.
That's right.
Should have heard that coming.
Maybe it was electric.
It might have been a little typical. I mean, it wasn't because they got fuel, but maybe it was a hybrid.
So
hybrid. Maybe
and he put it, set it to silent
maybe
running.
He took
maybe that's the sci-fi element. You can set the cars to silent running. In
maybe
this
he
universe.
Took the handbrake off and put it in neutral.
Maybe he did, yeah.
And rolled it.
It's rolled it mostly, yeah.
Yeah, again, like, I don't know. I was going to say he might get nominated for Best Supporter. He might for that scene. It's possible. But I think also, I think the big takeaway of that, like, of this movie is people are talking about him, but Kirsten Dunst is like really incredible in this. Yeah. And I haven't seen her headline something, I think, since Fargo. She almost certainly has, and I haven't seen it.
Uh-huh.
But it's just good to see her, like, leading a movie again. Uh-huh. I thought she's really great. Yeah. And and she's also like, I don't know, Spider-Man 4, whatever.
Or that's right. Yeah, exactly.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Got a review here, the one that we got from Russell Michaels. Though there is some in the Great Mates group if you wanted to open that up. Civil War is an oddly apolitical Civil War movie. The only true reference to politics is a random reference to Portland Maoists. The reason for the succession of many states is never really stated, nor the difference between the three factions. Best movie ever, though. So, yeah, no, I think, again, like we talked about, it is intentionally vague. And I think some of that is to make a point and some of it is for marketing purposes.
Do you think maybe it would have benefited from being a little bit more surrealist somehow? Like,
okay.
I don't know how that would work.
Sure.
But just, you know.
Like a time machine.
Like a time machine. Or like what if everybody was in a haze all the time and they couldn't, you know, and maybe there was more fading in and out. Or maybe there would be some sort of visual representation of like everybody's exhausted and everybody's smoking the doobies and so forth. I don't know.
Okay.
But
shouldn't be smoking this amount of many doobies.
That's right.
Yeah.
Doobies in moderation.
Yeah.
The Weekly Planet.
Here's a review from James from the Planet Broadcast Board, Broadcasting Great Mates Group, who said, it's good, really effective in many ways. It's kind of like a really stressful road movie, and I'm surprised they only hinted at the reason why the US was in the state and what had gone before to get us to this stage of the war. It's more about war journalists and the shit that they see. I found Kirsten Dunst a little wooden, but it kind of worked for her part. Wagner Moura is great in it. Jesse Plemons is terrifying. They're only on screen for about 5 minutes. I give it a solid 8 out of 10.
There you go.
There's
not our rating system, but that's fine.
Yeah, there's some other people here who are just like, this is, okay, what do we got here? Stephen O'Leary is like, the absolute cowardice of making it as apolitical as possible and yet being a movie about the Civil War in America is nauseating. So, yeah, I can also understand that perspective of, like, you want, like, a, you know, a statement to be made.
Is it because we're not as close to it?
That's probably, I wonder. Yeah, I would say.
Because
we're normally above most things. We're both very sides.
Above things, aren't we? That's true. We see every side.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's because, I don't know, if you take it as, again, a series of vignettes that are very tense, it worked for me. But if you're looking for the real reasons behind it, I don't think you're ever going to get them.
Yeah. I'll do this one more from Heather.
Okay.
Who says, I just saw it and I couldn't really get into it. It's more about the war journalists and the war and it's just the background. So I guess the details of it don't really matter too much. But my mind just kept getting hung up on the unreality of it all. It's like the uncanny valley for me. All the actors are good. I especially love Stephen McKinley Henderson. And there were some good parts in the movie, but I think maybe if someone else had directed it or refined the script or something, I might have liked it more. So with two friends, one of which was like me and didn't get it, and one who studied photojournalism in school and loves war movies, and he loved it. So your mileage may vary. I think that's.
Yeah.
We've got this whole spectrum here. Isn't that interesting though, Mason?
Mm.
A movie that people can talk about and they have different opinions.
Very divisive.
And that's journalism also.
That's journal. You better believe it. I had one more thought, but I can't remember what it was.
It's about Alex Garland quitting directing.
He did say that he was going to. He said he was going to do that a couple of years ago, though, I think.
Yeah, he said it was. But he actually he said it was quoted out of context. I think he spoke to Collider and he said, I'm never going to quit. You can't make
and
me.
And they put the dot, so it's I'm going to
an
quit.
An even more apolitical film.
That's right.
But this one's set in space.
Yeah.
It's called Space America Civil War.
Space communism, I love it. But it's apolitical.
He said he's just busy working on other projects in other capacities for the foreseeable future.
Because he's done a lot of writing, as we mentioned. And maybe
he's writing 28 years later,
The
next zombie movie for Danny Boyle.
And probably Cillian Murphy's
going to
be in that.
Probably Cillian Murphy's going to be doing it. So,
what was my one remaining thought that I had in my brain?
The one last synapse firing in your brain before it turns to mush.
I can feel it. Pa, 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 pa.
What about the bit where the guy was dying and they're going through the forest and it's like a real big dreamscape, but everyone's like, this guy, he got shot, he's dying. He's dying as our friend.
No, that was cool.
That was cool.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I'll think of it later.
Bit apolitical, though.
Yeah, very apolitical.
Yeah. Cool. All right. I don't know. Would you recommend this to people, though?
Yeah, I would. It's worth a watch, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the thought I had, that we had the choice between this and Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah.
Which is a horror movie, obviously. Yeah. But
I couldn't squeeze it both in, unfortunately.
No, but I mean,
I do really want to see.
But this movie in itself was horrifying in a different way.
Sure.
And I'm like, I'm
didn't have a devil in it.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to be possessed by the devil, but I could get shot randomly. So that's quite harrowing, I think.
But Late Night with the Devil had a video camera in it filming what was happening. This doesn't have a video camera in it.
And that was back in the 70s. That
was in the
70s.
That a video camera.
Would have been huge.
I'm sure there's a reason. Something to do with, because remember she's trying to upload some photos and it's taking forever.
Yeah.
So, but you'd still want to document it, is what I'm saying.
You'd put it on a USB.
Put on USB and then you'd put it in your bum and then you'd take it out of the end of the wall.
Smuggle it out in your bum. Smuggle it out in your bum, the Weekly Planet.
That's right. Should we move it along?
Let's move it along.
What to?
What we reading.
Yo.
And what we going to read.
Yo.
Yo.
I'm doing the thing. I got some recommendations for comedy, Mason, which
me too.
So I'll go first.
You go first.
So two shows.
Go on.
Shout out to Alias, which I think was his name, but I might have forgotten or got that wrong. I met at a bar on Friday night in the city. He's moved down from the UK.
Ooh.
And it was very nice to meet somebody, and he gave me a free drink.
Oh, that was
super cool, man.
And we're going to tell your boss.
That's right. We already emailed him. So
yeah, nice, great.
Yeah, expect a resignation. You may as well hand in your resignation.
You just do it now.
Yeah.
Even if your boss doesn't say anything. Just
yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah, because the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is on. Thanks to everybody who bought tickets to my live episode of Do Go On, which is sold out.
Oh, my God. So I can't wait to be there.
I jumped the gun last week when I said nobody's bought any tickets. People had bought tickets. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Embarrassing for you.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. I saw Bron Lewis, who I know and met in real life, when on a podcast, Two Drunk Aunties, with her and Sam Peterson.
Terrific.
So I saw a comedy show, her hour set. Hilarious. Loved it. It's personal. It's got great musical stings. There's stories that she tells there's a story that she tells in it that made me cringe so hard I put my hands in my face.
Whoa.
Or vice versa. Mm. Really terrific.
You put your hands up to your face and you went,
no, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
She's only been doing it for a few years, but she's so, like, everything is so well crafted already. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Claire at one point did just start talking to her, broke her brain.
I heard about
show.
That.
And
that story's going around.
Yeah. So apologies for that hear this, Bron Lewis. But it's still playing. And I think most people, they're touring it around the country in the coming months, their shows. The other one I saw was Laura Davis, who I'd never seen before, but Claire goes to see every year.
I see her every year as well.
Well, congratulations.
I'm friends with her in real life.
Well,
sorry.
I met her at the start of the show.
Sorry.
She said she didn't like you. Anyway.
That's our back and forth.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, she says she doesn't like me.
Hey, I'm still, like, discovering jokes and things about that show, like, days on.
Mm.
It's so dense with, like, metaphor and parallels and things tying back that I've been thinking about things like, oh, my God.
She's one of the best and not enough people see her. And
completely
I
agree.
Yeah.
Amazing storyteller. Her metaphors are incredible. There's a running gag about medium sand, which I won't spoil, but I really loved.
Too bad you've already spoiled it for
That's
me.
That's right. It just blew me away. Mm. It was great. So I saw those back to back, and
nice.
I would recommend that outing if you're in the city and about. Just really good stuff.
I recommended some shows last week, but this week, some standouts, I saw Greg Larson.
Oh, Greg Larson. I know Greg. I've never met him, but I know him.
Yeah, he's done a bunch of stuff. He's he's got a show about his...
being a poop?
Yeah, in a way. No, about being a goth. About being
that is like being a
poop. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's just a great solid stand-up, and I enjoy his work a lot.
Is his character Oily?
Mr. Oily. Mr. Oily. He doesn't bring in Mr. Oily.
No, I know, but he's Mr. Oily, isn't he?
He is Mr. Oily, yes. But he's just great generally. And Sydney comedian Lauren Bonner, she's a great stand-up, but this year she's doing a play called Imagine Having Anything at All, and it's like a one-woman show about being a horrible person.
Oh, wow.
Just a fun narrative.
It sounds, Mason, just like a rip-off of Fleabag, so there you go. That's what
I found it to be like Tar, but the movie Tar with Kate Blanchett, except funny.
Oh, okay.
Well, the movie Tar is also funny.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. All right, I'm because I do want to see some stuff before the end of the
Comedy Festival. You got a week left, I think.
I do, yeah. But again, then everybody moves everywhere about.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I mean, if you
Brisbane and Sydney,
you've heard good things about a comic, but their run's finished up. I saw Beck Petratus' show as well, which is really good.
I want to see that too.
You should see it, James. You should see it.
Fine, I will.
James, you should see it. It's about being a nerd.
No,
so you should see it.
No.
I think you could relate.
No.
Oh, and Ben Russell. Ben Russell had a stand-up show, which is really good. He often does characters and et cetera.
Yeah. And you saw Xavier Michaelides.
I did see Xavier Michaelides. Yeah. People might know him from the TikToks and the Instagram where he does one of those face replacement gags.
Bunnings.
About the hardware chain Bunnings. Now, you've said, I showed you some of those videos a while back, and you said one of them was like one of the top five funniest things you've ever seen.
You showed me that inner red rooster, and I was crying. And I can't even... I don't even remember. How would I even find it? Because to say what it's about would spoil the punchline.
Yeah,
because it's like one from a few months back.
Yeah, folks, go to Xavier Michaelides' Instagram page or his TikTok. He's got a bunch of short videos. You can probably watch them all in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't sell you on his show, I don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Just incredible.
Mm.
He's really figured it out, hasn't
that's
he?
Comedy Festival talk. What else were we doing? We've been watching the TV series Fallout.
Oh, yeah.
We're not big Fallout heads.
No, but it's very good.
It's good, right?
Yeah, I'm four or five in.
I'm one and a bit
out.
In.
Not Fallout.
Yeah.
Four out.
But it's a great cast, I think.
Yeah.
Especially the lead role.
I think the world does a good job of balancing, like, a cartoon surrealness,
because
there is kind of that in the games and the art style.
Yeah.
It's just like somebody's head being squashed.
Heads get squashed or people get crushed indoors and, you know,
exactly.
Stabbed in the eye or the neck.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty bloody and out there, but
we love it.
And it's a good aesthetic. It looks nice. It's a fun.
I really, from the first trailer, I was like, eh. And then I remember because you made me watch the second trailer on here and I'm like, oh, shit.
Much
this
improved,
actually looks
thought,
like
yeah.
it. This looks incredible.
I feel like Walton Goggins' character could be slimier.
Oh.
Like physically.
He's too dry?
He looks a bit dry.
Well, he's a zombified man.
Yeah, no, that's true.
He's a ghoul.
He could be a gooier ghoul.
No, Mason. No. I'm just going to say no to that.
Wow.
Yeah.
He can all be right. A, all can, I'm saying, season
can,
two.
He could be a dry ghoul.
He could be a dry ghoul.
It's the dry ghoul. Anything else or should we move it along?
That's the whole week, I think.
I just love
it. I watched a little bit of Ripley as well.
Ripley's Believe It or Not?
No.
Directed by Dean Cain.
No.
What couldn't you believe about it this time?
No, I couldn't believe that it was actually a Netflix series starring Andrew Scott.
How is it?
It's good, I think.
Good,
a lot of people
think?
Were like, oh, I can't get into this because it's black and white. It looks really nice.
That's why I couldn't get
into
it.
It's a nice looking show.
I didn't like it either.
I
haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's
I like that. That Ripley movie is incredible. The first one.
The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's
right?
essentially retelling the same thing, but it's less glamorous.
Yeah, okay.
Like it's more grimy. It feels more like that era in Italy probably would have been.
The grimy Mr. Ripley.
The grimy Mr. Ripley.
The Adventures of Grimy Ripley.
That's right. Grimy and gooey.
Yeah, okay.
But I think it's good. I think Andrew Scott is doing very well in the role. So.
Yeah, cool. Well, you know.
Yeah. And there's a Fanning in it. I think it's Dakota Fanning.
Oh.
Who's an adult now. I don't know if you know that.
No, she's been an adult for a while.
I thought, no, she's been eight up until this year, I think.
I think, isn't she nearly 30, if not already 30?
Almost certainly, yes.
She is 30.
Okay, right. Well, it's news to me.
Yeah, you didn't know?
No.
It was on the news. I don't know how you didn't know.
No, I don't watch the news, James. It's too biased.
They said Dakota Fanning is 30. Everybody knows this. I don't even know why we're telling everybody. Top story.
Wow.
Yeah. You missed it.
I missed that, yeah.
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 Oh, well. Should we move it along?
Let's move it along. It's time for letters.
Letters.
The classic one was letters, oh, letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
Now they're here right now. We're going to do letters.
Yeah, you want to reach the show?
Hashtag
WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or WeeklyPlanetPod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Tell us what's up. Mason, have you got a letter or a tweet? Or
actually, I do have an email. This is from Ellis.
Classic you.
That's your friend Ellis.
What? From earlier?
Yeah. Hi, James and Mason. It was an absolute pleasure meeting the GOAT last night.
I got the name right.
That's you absolutely did. After watching your video since I was 16 and then meeting you in person last night has made my weekend.
That's not true that he
your
was
16. Your drinks are always on me if you ever come back to the bar.
I got you fired, so.
Yeah.
Tell me where your new bar is.
That's exactly right. And we can ruin that for you as well. Ellis has a question.
Yep.
So with four more comic book films coming out in 2024,
are there?
Deadpool 3, Kraven, Joker 2, and Venom The Last Dance,
do
you think is going to make the most at the box office worldwide?
Deadpool.
Deadpool. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Because Joker's a musical.
Yeah. That's gonna hurt it after the first weekend.
Yeah. I mean, it also depends which are good.
Yeah, Ellis has ranked it Deadpool, Joker 2, Venom, and then Kraven, and yeah. I think that's pretty
think
much
that's probably accurate.
Bang on
yeah.
the money, yeah.
Yeah. Though Venom generally may make a lot of money, and there's also a chance that Joker maybe makes $500 to $600 million as opposed to $1 billion because it's still an R-rated movie and it's a musical.
Yeah.
So those things, I think, do work against it.
Maybe the Joker heads will get on board with the musical.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it'll...
Yeah, maybe they'll be like, I love Girl Joker and this is a musical.
That's right.
I'm a normal person and I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they'll do that.
Maybe they'll do that. Maybe they'll do that.
Yeah, sweet as. I think that's a fairly accurate order, though.
Yeah.
It should be. But also, like, well, you know, oh, the other thing is Deadpool is also R-rated. So that, again, that's true, also works against it, et cetera.
Absolutely.
But it's not going to be Kraven.
No, absolutely not.
It's not going to be Kraven.
That might get a week in cinemas. Like, it'll get a month, but at the low, like, it's potentially it could do so poorly.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be out of cinemas in a week.
Oh, yeah.
And people will be like, were there any superhero movies this year? And you'll go, Kraven? And they'll go, what?
What? What did you say to me?
What did you say?
What did you say
to
me?
Son of a bitch.
You want to fight in the cinema?
Let's fight in the cinema where we're watching Joker. Let's dance fight in the cinema. Because I've been energized by the power of movies.
Yeah, man.
And I love to sing and dance now, but I'm also a bad bloke. And I love doing violence.
That's the Joker, man.
Yeah,
you've turned
right.
into the Joker.
That's right. And congratulations on this new stage in your life where you're the Joker.
Absolutely. I guess for something that we read, we could talk about just quickly. I mentioned this earlier. We covered the Kingdom Come comic book.
That's right.
That's at bigsandwich.co this week. And last week was the Deadpool video game. My voice is a bit hoarse in that because I was recovering from an illness. But I played a lot of Deadpool video game. And boy, did it wear me down, Mason.
You seemed like you were having a very lovely time.
Yeah, no, it was a fun time to be had. Anyway, I've got a tweet here.
Go on.
Thank you, Elias, for the drink. And thank you for the letter. Karathy says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod, I am watching Army of the Dead Weekly Planet episode, and you seem to really like heists. This is to you specifically, by the way. I am curious. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched La Casa de Papel, which is Money Heist? I know it is popular. It's a popular one, so maybe. But was curious if you have. This is just directed to you.
Is there an original there that's in Spanish and then there's a remake?
No, I think it's all Money Heist.
Oh, I haven't watched Money Heist, no.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it's called Money Heist.
You wish it was called Cash Bonanza.
Could be called Cash Bonanza.
Yeah.
It could be called...
Cash Bonanza Bros.
Koshy's Cash Bonanza,
called,
you know?
Yeah, okay, that's interesting.
Or what's the guy with the mustache, your friend?
John Burgess.
John Burgess. It could be called Burgess Cash Bonanza, the movie.
I love John Burgess. He's a cool dude. We are mates. We met one time.
That's all right.
And we are mates.
Yeah. I haven't seen perhaps I should. It's a series, right? Money Heist?
Yes.
I should get into that.
People
I do love
like
a heist.
It.
Yeah.
People think it's good.
You need colorful characters. You need a twist along the way.
You need good memories.
You need good memories, sure. That's right.
Man, I love all of that.
Yeah. What was that movie where they had to get a car out of the skyscraper? Remember that movie?
Tower Heist. It's a Brett Ratner movie.
You know what it is? Here's the sequence of events.
Okay.
I love a heist movie. I saw Tower Heist and it was bad, if I recall.
Yeah.
Maybe it was okay.
They had to steal a golden car or something.
But then I saw the advertisements for Money Heist and I'm like, this feels like the low point of heist.
Yeah.
If they're just like,
really,
what could people, it's like when they started pitching, it's Die Hard on a plane, it's Die Hard on a boat or whatever. It's like, it feels like the bottom of the barrel to be like, they're stealing money. Yeah, okay. Is that what people steal, is it?
You know what it is? I suspected this. It's just a direct translation. Though the direct translation is apparently The Money Heist.
Okay.
Which sounds better
than
just straight Money Heist.
Money Heist.
Money Heist sounds like you've forgotten something.
We're going to steal your valuables.
What?
That's right.
In what kind of scenario? Money Heist.
Money Heist. Can't believe it, but there's just a guy. I'm just picturing like a bank manager.
Yeah,
he's in a vault and it's empty, and he's shaking his fist. And he's like, "They've stolen the money in a money heist."
Mm-hmm.
Call the authorities.
Call them. Get them on the phone.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Do you remember the bank job?
The Statham one.
Yeah.
Pete Ford, our friend Hollywood Pete Ford, produced that.
That's right. Do you remember Inside Man?
Inside Man's also
Spike
a good
Lee
one.
Joint.
Yes.
Yeah, that is a good one.
It's a good
one
too. Do you have any other movies you want me to remember while we're here?
Do you remember the movie Ronin, which I love? That's a heist of sorts.
Which one's that?
It's a John Frankenheimer movie. It's got De Niro in it.
I've seen a long time ago.
So good.
Isn't that got a really good car chase in it?
Yes. It's all for real and they flip stuff and blow stuff
up.
Oh,
it's a movie for real. Oh, it's got that French dude.
Jean Reno. Yes,
Jean Reno.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's all nice.
Right. I should watch this again.
Yeah, do it.
Have you seen the movie Heat?
Yes.
That's got a heist in it.
I should rewatch Heat because I've never been a huge fan of Heat.
I'm lukewarm on Heat too. And I think that's not true.
Pun intended.
Well, they're making
it. I don't think
that was. And they're making a Heat prequel or sequel.
With, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Adam Driver's in it.
That's right. Mm. Lukewarm.
All right. You got another one?
Yeah, here's an email from Calvin.
Shut up. That's to you, by the way, not Calvin.
Okay, right. Hello, boys. I've really enjoyed your commentary on older films like the original Godzilla and King Kong, Caravan of Garbage.
Thank you. They didn't do super well on YouTube, which I knew they would not.
Okay, well, then there's a request on the way.
I wanted to look at them.
That we are not going to honour. After seeing the Maxine trailer reference Psycho and Nosferatu coming later this year.
Oh, man.
That's a separate sentence. After seeing the Maxine trailer reference Psycho and Nosferatu coming later this year, would you consider doing a Caravan of Garbage classic horror trilogy?
Probably,
even?
Yeah.
I'd love to see a triple feature of the OG Nosferatu, Psycho, and The Shining.
I would like to talk about it. Yeah. It depends on what's coming out and whatever, but yeah, I would love to do that.
All very influential films for their respective decades, and I think you'd have a lot to talk about.
I think it would also be better than doing like The Shining 1 and then the remake and then the sequel.
Yeah.
Or like all of the Psycho movies or whatever.
Oh, we could do Psycho then Psycho remake.
People would stop. Oh, there was sequels to Psycho as well. Apparently Psycho 2 or 3 is good. One of them's good.
Psycho 3 Extra Psycho.
Psycho gone psycho.
Psycho goes bananas in Hawaii.
Well, he's got to get away.
Yeah.
From the authorities and just take a little holiday.
I think he'd have a lot to talk about, especially the BTS behind the scenes and conspiracy related to The Shining.
Yeah, okay.
Because apparently Shelley Duvall was not that poorly treated by
really?
Kubrick. Yeah, that's what I've heard recently. That's the received wisdom. She's been in interviews and she's like, no, it was fine.
Okay.
It's fine, actually.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
Okay.
It's not up to me.
Yeah, right. He says, I'm a big horror fan and it's one of the main genres keeping the industry alive. I think that's probably true.
Especially
low to medium budget stuff.
Yep, absolutely right.
Many interesting original horror films coming this year. Cuckoo looks good. Have you seen the trailer for Cuckoo?
What's that again?
Dan Stevens is in it.
Yes.
And Hunter Schafer is in it. And the lady who's in that movie, she's in Glass Onion, Royal Hotel.
Jennifer Aniston.
No, not Jennifer
Jessica
Aniston.
Jessica Henwick.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, and Jennifer Aniston.
I actually just watched the trailer for that today.
Yeah, looks good. Looks really interesting. I don't know what's bloody going on there.
There's that one about John Krasinski's Imaginary Friends movie.
Hey, that looks scary.
That looks scary. And there's also...
Wait. James, that looks scary with how bad it is.
Whoa!
Yes!
What if a Pixar movie was
really bad? Yes!
Eat shit, Krasinski.
That's right.
Your office money can't save you now.
That's right. I mean, it probably can.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
You could probably sue us.
Yeah, you could absolutely.
And it wouldn't, like, your case wouldn't have any, like, legal standing, but you could just tie us
up. Ruin us up. You could ruin us financially, I think, by tying us up in the courts, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Some people said Cuckoo gave away too much of the movie, but I thought it was just a series of bizarre images that, spooked me a bit. I thought that was cool.
Speaking of movies, Abigail, which I do want to see, which is out this week.
Oh, Abigail's here, yeah.
Yep.
In a Violent Nature?
There's a James McAvoy, he's back, oh boy.
Oh, yes.
In a trailer this week.
Oh, yes.
Last week, sorry, which looks really good. It's about they go to a small farm and it's called Speak No Evil.
Speak No Evil.
Yeah. That actually looks genuinely good too.
Is it a sequel to See No Evil, Hear No Evil?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yeah. You happy with that?
Yeah.
Cool, man. Anything else?
I got a tweet
if you want me to do a tweet.
Go on.
This tweet says, hello. It's from Viewwinder who says, are you across this? And it's hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. And it's the Aliens What If Carter Burke Lived comic. You familiar with this?
I'm not familiar with
that. So Carter Burke is played by Paul Reiser.
That's right.
In the second Alien movie. Mm. And they're now doing, because it's all under the Disney umbrella now. So
they were like, it'd be rude to kill him.
Yeah.
And families wouldn't like it if you killed Paul Reiser.
I think there's two out at the moment of, and I think Paul Reiser's involved as well.
Huh.
What if he survived that movie and what that looks like?
So did they go to Paul Reiser and they said, what would you do in an Aliens spin-off? And he's like, what if my character didn't die and I did more movies and I got paid for the movies?
Yeah, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do want to read that. I like Aliens comics. I dip out of Aliens comics like every few years or months. I'm like, oh, what's this run? And I give it a read and I'll go back to the 90s stuff or I'll read something new and, So I haven't read it, but I will.
That's great.
Yeah. And also,
well, I'm going to read another comic, a different comic.
I know. I also think that character, Like, he sucks and he's a slime ball kind of guy. But he's complicated, and you do get the sense in that movie that he does also sort of care about Ripley to an extent.
You're saying you see both sides?
I see both sides, and I think it's important that people know that, that I'm actually above it.
That's right.
And I understand it.
That's right.
Better than most. Mm. Yeah. What do you think?
And he has to go home to his wife.
Yeah.
Jamie. Oliver.
Carter Burke.
Okay, yes.
Jamie Oliver. He'd got money, he'd live. That's right. He'd live a long time.
And anyway, that's the whole show, folks.
He'd say, lovely jubbly, I'm still alive.
That's right.
In the alien universe.
Yeah, that's right.
What else you got, Mason?
No, that's the whole show.
No, in terms of wrapping it up, what else you got?
Oh, okay. Bringing anything what else I've got besides that?
What do you got to bring into the table?
Well, I would say, folks, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for telling your friends about the podcast, because that is how we get new listeners.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you for leaving a 5-star review on your podcast catching machine of your choice. You can do it in app, most likely. And if you do, James will read it out on the podcast, as he's going to do right now.
That's right. I've got one here from 13 Skits and Gravy, but 13 looks like a B because it's a 1 and a 3.
Okay. Thank you, 13 Skits and Gravy.
Yeah. It says, cool guys. These guys are cool. Thank you. This one's from Elijah Flack, who says, they are the defenders of the earth. It is I, the opening theme. There is absolutely nothing going up your butthole. Sometimes I don't read those still in the show. I've been a proud listener for 4 years and have had an excellent ride. If you like comic book movie news, this is for you.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the reviews.
Yeah, man.
Biscuits and Gravy and Elijah Flack.
Very welcome. If you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group and Weekly Planet Podcast subreddit and Discord for 5-minute civil chats about podcasts and pop culture. Have a bit of fun over there.
Yeah, have a
follow
good
the
time.
Rules.
Yeah, don't
follow the rules. Thank you to Maisie and Sarabi and Fidel for moderating over there and doing all sorts of stuff, including TikToks and clips channels and videos and all kinds of things. They keep it moving over there. If you want to follow some people on the socials, first of all, our friend Rob Collings. He's at Rob Collings on Twitter.
That's right.
He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. He'll keep you up to date on all things The Weekly Planet.
He'll let you know.
He edits this podcast as well.
He does.
And amongst many other things.
We tried to stop him as well.
Don't try too hard.
Couldn't. No, I'm not. I'm pretending. I'm like, no, stop it.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown and on Instagram, Nick Maso. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
Yo, man.
If you want to support the show, you go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. Chuck in a buck.
Chuck in a buck. Give us your money.
Chuck a buck in the muck.
Yeah, man.
That is patreon.com.
Yeah.
Or sign up to BigSandwich.co, $9 per month, bonus podcast, movie commentaries, early videos, video game let's plays, all sorts of stuff. We review comic books. We talk about clickbait. We look at years of the past and go, that sucked. What a terrible year. In James and Meso's, what a terrible year.
Yeah, we should have called it that. We can rebrand.
Yeah, we can rebrand. And that's all sorts of good stuff. Thank you to The Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. Get a T-shirt at TeePublic. Why don't you search for The Weekly Planet? And next week, it's
Red Bull Moon Part 2, The Scaregiver.
Let's get on. Red Bull Moon Part 2, The Scaregiver. Red Bull Moon Part 2, The Scaregiver.
And maybe something we should actually review, like Fallout or the Vampire movie.
Oh, yeah, cool.
But probably exclusively Rebel Moon, let's be real, and Snake Eyes. I just saw this. Andy Levy posted this in the Civil War Great Mates thing. It's a tweet from Drill, who says, "The wise man bowed his head solemnly and spoke. There are actually zero differences between good and bad things, you imbecile. You fucking moron."
That's a classic.
Good stuff. No, it's new.
Okay, great.
I just discovered it. It's
okay,
new.
Terrific.
All right, thanks, everyone.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scaregiver. Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scaregiver. Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scaregiver.
Yeah! Snyder.
Gonna be bad.
It's gonna be bad.
It might be.
No. No. Come on, man. We try to be positive, but I mean.
I know. I liked me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we saw the other one.
We have limits. We're only human. God. Okay, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.